number 62.
This message was recorded live at the 2011 Convention of the Massachusetts Homeschool Organization of Parent Educators. That's Mass Hope, promoting and safeguarding home education in Massachusetts to the glory of God since 1988. Mass Hope is your Christian state organization and is there when you need them, those that defend home education and family freedoms in Massachusetts. When you have to decide where to go for homeschool support and conventions, choose Mass Hope. No other organization has been in the trenches with Massachusetts families like they have, providing information, support, and planning events year-round. Keep up with homeschooling in Massachusetts. Find us on Facebook. Tell others to find us at masshope.us or beginninghomeschooling.com. What's up? How to Really Help Kids and Teens with Focus Attention Issues by Diane Kraft, recording number 62.
I love to talk about this. This is actually life-changing. Many of the other talks have been helpful. You've gotten lots of good information about brain integration therapy, about right brain strategies and dysgraphia. But I have so many testimonies to read up here. In fact, just after my last class, a gal came up and said, "You can just read this anytime." And she handed me a letter about her Nathan and how everything had changed when she recognized these things. So I'm so excited about this class. I love them all. I love midline stuff. I love right brain stuff because it's so easy and fun. But this is life-changing. Is my microphone okay? Everybody's hearing in the back? We're doing all right. Good. Nope. Up. Okay. I have control here, which is the best way to have it. Is it okay now? A little more? Higher? Is it all right? It's okay? All right. Without an echo. All right. You don't want to hear me two times. So, but after I had a master's degree in special education and taught for many years, I went and became a nutritionist because I said, there is another piece to this puzzle. And it's interesting, I read kids' files, and instead of reading kids' files after school and looking at the testing, I looked at the parent input, and I wanted to see what was going on. What was the commonality among my bright kids who had to work harder than I wanted them to have to work? So what I did is I studied files, and I had thought maybe they all wouldn't have crawled because I thought midline therapy was probably, you know, where it was at. I love the midline. But only about 50% of my kids hadn't crawled, so that didn't explain that whole group. But I found that 85% of them had had multiple antibiotic use from ages 0 to 3. But they're now 11 and 12 and 13 and 14. What does that have to do with it? Well, I found where the correlation is. But 99% of them had allergies. And now we know histamine is a neurotransmitter. And histamine can separate the left and right hemisphere from talking to each other. When I was teaching in school, after I'd homeschooled my son and went back into the education field and was teaching, I found several of my kids were on a cocktail of medications. So they would give them a Ritalin to stimulate them and help them to learn better, and they did. But then they got too stimulated, they couldn't go to sleep at night. So they would give them a clonidine, which would be a medicine that was an antihypertensive medicine to help them sleep. And then when they got into trouble is when with my eighth graders they could give them an antidepressant on top of that because they needed to do more. Well, why were they using medicine? Because they recognized that something was going on chemically. They were treating it pharmaceutically. That's one way to treat it. But then I said, but why do we have allergies with it? Why do my boys have more white spots on their fingernails? What, you know, in other words, we saw these physical components. And that's what we're going to talk about. And that's a fascinating field to study. And I think you're going to find a lot of information in here. So this is of our four learning gates, which I'll put up in just a second. This is the most mystifying of gates. When I'll have parents who call and they say, I think that they have a dyslexia. He said, okay, tell me about it, because this dyslexia would be very real, wouldn't it? And he said, well, one day they can read just fine, and the next day they look at the words, and it's like they just can't even read it. You see how that can't be a dyslexia, because you don't get a dyslexia one day and get rid of it the next. That has to be something, how much can they engage, and how much work does it take for them to remain engaged? They'll say, my teenager has such a memory problem, I'm going to have them tested for a learning disability because they can't remember anything from day to day. Well, again, if you would actually, that child would be one-on-one tested, they're probably testing reading at grade level, spelling pretty much at grade level, math pretty much at grade level. But every day, teaching them looks like they can't remember anything. That's because instead of remaining engaged, they're two doors down, you know, playing with their friend or doing something else. Not because they want to be, they would like to remain engaged. Kids want to please us, but they don't have the energy to remain engaged. It takes energy for that. So I want to know what's sitting on this child's nervous system. And so once we find out, I'm going to give you the possibilities here. And in the next class, which will be right 15 minutes after that, we're going to explore more of the possibilities. As a nutritionist, as I've now seen 3,000 students, what we have seen that are commonalities. And as we go through them, one or two of them will likely apply to you. So it's the most frustrating and mystifying of the learning gates. You can have this plus a dyslexia and such, but this can be the number one issue is focusing when it looks like another learning disability. So if you have a child who gets at home gets frustrated over minor matters all the time, forgets what was just learned, seems lazy and unmotivated, you've tried many of the focusing tricks. There are many wonderful books out there about how to help them stay focused, but you're just getting worn out because the tricks are helping but not taking care of the problem, and you get the minimum work required out of your child even though you're working so hard, and so are they. So we're going to look at this, and it's just, I think it'll be a fascinating study for you. The typical thing we hear is he's so smart, but it takes him forever to complete his work. So if they really know it, you know, if you teach a math problem to them or math method, and it's hard for them to remember, well, then that isn't focusing. You need to be there and reteach it. But if they know it, they've exhibited perfect comprehension of it, but as soon as you leave the room, their pencil becomes paralyzed in the air. And if you're not sitting there, they're not learning it. It's not because they're lazy or sloppy or they're just not wanting to work. They're really having to use too much energy. Like the other kids were dysgraphia, too much energy to write. This is too much energy to stay focused. So again, remember it's energy leaks. This isn't the visual gate, which we talked about earlier. Not the writing gate blocked. Not necessarily the auditory. They can have all of those also, but this is, we're going to focus in this talk and the next one after this. We're going to focus, we've now talked in these 2 days about all the learning gates that can be blocked. We're going to now look at the focusing, attention, meltdown, nervous system type. These are SI kids. All the nervous system, how it's letting us know is going on. Let's look at the symptoms that they're showing us. The focus attention ability. How do we know if it's our child is struggling with that? Well, first of all, if they need someone to sit with them to finish the work. If it's consistent, everybody does once in a while, but if they need someone, as long as you're sitting there, you're a battery, you know, we're a battery, you know that. If we sit next to somebody and they can focus better, basically you're exchanging energy to them and it helps them to stay focused. For sure, if you're testing a child, make sure that you stay right next to them, almost shoulder to shoulder. Then we take off the focusing piece. If you give them a test and you leave the room, you're accidentally checking their focusing, aren't you, instead of their skill level. So that's why we like to, if you can, do the California Achievement Test. You can do them at home because you can sit side by side. You're not going to be telling them answers, but your presence alone for kids who have focusing issues will help them. They often forget previously learned information. This is so puzzling because you said they knew it. I know they knew it, but they forget it. I'll say, no, Mom, you never showed me. You never taught me. Or I just can't remember. Now, you see, normally we want to say, I better have them check for an auditory processing problem because I have a tape out called, Is It Really ADD or Is It a Child with an Auditory Processing Problem? We're going to talk next hour about auditory a lot. Auditory does involve holding on to the information they hear, but it mainly is going to show up in reading. So if reading isn't impacted, likely it's not auditory. It's likely a focusing issue. and if you didn't know it was, because we're going to look at the myths, the two myths of auditory processing. One would be, they'll say, well, my child's an auditory learner because he loves to listen to stories. But in reality, when you're listening to stories, you're making pictures, a movie in your head, aren't you? That's really a visual process. Or they'll say, my child has an auditory processing problem because I give him three things to do and he can't remember it. Well, that would be a focusing problem, because if you ask them to get a Snickers candy bar, a bag of M&Ms, and a chocolate ice cream cone, you know, likely. In other words, it's the interest level that draws them more. Again, they're not you know, trying to be, you know, bad or not to be obedient. We, by the way, we have some chairs available up here. Do you mind just putting your hand up if you have a couple chairs next to you? If you see the hands, see they're all around here? Yeah. So she says you can put your hands down. Thank you, such a cooperative group. So impulsive behavior. Now, all kids are impulsive once in a while. That's what a kid is, isn't it? When you say you're acting like a kid, well, you're impulsive. Of course, that's part of it. You know the impulsive behavior where everything is, they want to guess at everything, say the first answer, only put there, so they don't test well unless you're sitting there saying, I think you need to look at that again. You can say that. That's not against any testing. You're not giving him an answer. You're helping with the focus. Otherwise, do you see how you accidentally test focus? Many times parents will have their children tested in a school and they'll come back and they say, their cognition is real low. And you'll say, I know he's pretty smart. Well, why? That psychologist could only take the first answer. And you know, if you have an impulsive kid, the first answer is going to be whatever they can rattle off, and that person will let them alone, right? So you don't get an accurate testing unless you there is with the focusing. They're impulsive. They'll just say anything. In math, it's going to show up like this. They'll say they really have a math problem. Well, is it that they can't remember the processes? Or they say, no, they make silly mistakes, seeing the signs wrong. Well, if you're doing algebra and you make silly mistakes with adding and subtracting, what does that tell you? That's a focusing problem. Of course they know that process. So just how does that shake out? Oftentimes what comes with this, because it's a chemical upset, they get easily upset and angered. You tend to, without knowing it, you're walking on eggshells all the time because things upset them. It's in that same pool of a chemical upset. Excuse me. Inconsistent performance, knows it one day and not the next. And many times, not always, but many times this includes our group of kids who have sensory processing problems, where little things bother them. Tags bother them. Loud noises bother them. Food textures bother them. Dr. Lyndon Smith, the baby doctor, calls them goosey touchy kids. Everything bothers them. So they are internally distracted. You know, we have a buffering system. There are a lot of seats, ladies, up here for you standing in the back. We have lots of seats in front here. So the buffering system that we have is our nervous system is coated with myelin. Myelin is what? Fat. We are cushioned. So let's say that we have a scratchy tag, and we may not like it, but after a while we put it in our background, don't we? So we can concentrate on other things, because it doesn't get through our cushion. For these guys, everything gets through their cushion. So they're sitting there and they have a tag on, and they're trying to do their math. And their internal nervous system, which is giving wrong electrical signals, is saying, tag, 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 it's a tag, it's a tag, tag. So they can't move on because they can't put it in the background. So, and you're saying, well, what is it? And you cut out the tag. Well, then it's a saw. Ooh, the seam. Ooh, the seam. And you know, if you have a good nervous system, we could have a little rock on our shoe. And don't you just kind of push it a little aside with your toes and you can move along. Oh, my goodness, a seam would do that for them. It's because they have a what I call kids whose nervous system is in disequilibrium. Our job is to put it back in equilibrium. And this is not a hard job to do. Not any harder than getting the other gates in. It can be done. It's just, again, a matter of knowing what to look for. So this is something we want to think about. It's a little revolutionary, a little radical, but let's think about this. Is it character or chemistry? What do I mean by that? Many times we say, we're going to take out the beaver, you know, the diligence study again. Are different. We think if they really wanted to, they really could pull it together. And if they can, you know, then that would be a good thing. But if you've tried all sorts of things, or by the end of the day you have your tape running in your head, and your tape says, oh, I was after him for this, I was after him for that. You know, when you feel all day long you've been after them, and the next day you're going to be better. You're so sure. But then at the end of the day, they just frustrated you so much. Then you say, is a character a chemistry? I think many times if you've done all the same character things you have with all the other kids, let's look at chemistry. Dr. Sidney Walker has a clinic in California. And in fact, he actually has a book. He calls it The Hyperactivity Hoax. And he talks about the fact that when they put kids on medicine, they never check for blood sugar levels, B vitamin levels, lead levels, manganese levels, thyroid, iron. We find 45% of these kids have subclinical anemia. They don't ever check for the physical things. And so he says kids act how they feel. So let's say that we would have a six-month-old baby and you were changing their diaper and they're always so cooey and happy. And then all of a sudden they started scratching and kicking and whining and throwing themselves around. You don't say, I think we need to see a counselor. No, what you say to yourself is, if you're nursing them, what am I eating? If you're feeding them, are you in change formula? Did I introduce different food? You know what's physical, don't you? But when we have a 12 or 14-year-old and they all of a sudden get irascible, isolate themselves, want to be only in their own bedroom, all, you know, are listening to rock music, has that off beat, they seek that out if they're not feeling good, excuse me, all those types of things, if you see that, then you say to yourself, I think we need to see a counselor. I'm saying the possibility to consider is it's the same thing as it was with a six-month-old baby. What is going on chemically? The only reason I say that is because when we make the chemical changes, we see what looks like character changes. And so, to me, then that's just the results tell it. So, is it character? Is it chemistry? Well, one of the things that Dr. Crook tells us is that 85% of these kids with attention, behavior, SI issues have had multiple ear infections when young. It isn't just ear infections. It's what do we treat the ear infections with? Is antibiotics or steroids. So if it were not chemistry, do you see why would we see this correlation? It doesn't say 85% of kids with attention issues or SI issues have poor parents. It doesn't say that, does it? It's if they say the correlation they're finding, just like with our autistic and Asperger's children, we're always finding gut issues. And we're going to look at why that is and where the major neurotransmitters are made. Always find gut issues. So we've called some of these things mental illnesses, but they're really finding they're metabolic illnesses. All the parents who are seeing the biggest breakthroughs are treating mental illnesses as metabolic. The ones who see good changes but not pulling the kids out of it are treating them as a behavioral issues. So maybe you just want to get on board and look and pray and see if it's right for you to look at some physical causes. So let's look at that very important neurotransmitter called serotonin. What's going on when their nervous system is upset? Serotonin, there are about 13 neurotransmitters, 6 major ones. Of those, serotonin is the number one major one. We have so many serotonin boosting medications being sold. So if you have enough serotonin, you have a relaxed mind. You have enough serotonin, you have a sense of well-being. If you have enough serotonin, you easily handle stress. If you have enough serotonin, you fall asleep easily, stay asleep all night, don't have nightmares or night terrors. And you, those of you who've had kids with night terrors, that's something to behold, isn't it? They can't wake up. They're just screaming, and they are absolutely terrified. Now, we know that terror doesn't come from God. So that isn't really the plan, is it? So we do everything we can to agree with God and get that child out of a terrorist situation. So falling asleep easily, if you have enough serotonin. If you have enough serotonin, you easily stay focused. You don't have to work extra hard or use extra battery energy to stay focused. If you have enough serotonin, you can control your impulsivity. If you have enough serotonin, you see the world as more positive than negative. You see the glass half full instead of half empty. Antidepressants work by releasing serotonin. So we're not saying to be on it or not to be on it. We're just saying, let's look at the chemistry. Let's look at the mechanism that is working, and let's see if we can duplicate it naturally. If we can't duplicate it naturally, we're not going to keep a person in a depressed state because we're against medicine, right? That would be wrong to do. But that is always plan B. We always need to help in every way we can, but let's look at some natural things first. We know 1 out of 4 adults is on an antidepressant. It's not wrong to be on an antidepressant. If you don't have enough serotonin, you need to recirculate it, don't you? If you don't have enough insulin, you need to put it in. I mean, it's a physical thing. Ritalin works by releasing serotonin. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to say do Ritalin. What we're saying is, let's look at the mechanism that's going on with Ritalin. So how do we know? I mean, if a child is about a quart low in serotonin, they not only don't have a relaxed mind, tags bother them, socks bother them, everything bothers them, the air moving can bother them, certainly their sister chewing gum is going to bother them, everything is bothering them. Let's look at the opposite. They don't have that sense of well-being because everything's a deal for them. Everything is a big deal. These are kids who are real reactive. They don't handle stress well because, again, a sock or a seam could be stressful. They don't often fall asleep easily. This is a question when I have at my consultations. It's so interesting, but particularly when they get to be more teenager-y, but it can happen at 8 or 9. And I ask the child, I say, tell me about falling asleep. Is that easy or hard? And the mother will say, oh, no, they fall asleep real easily. I go in there and I see they're asleep just as soon as we put them down. And the child's shaking their head. And I say, okay, so you're looking like you're asleep, but let me imagine what's going on. Inside your head, your thoughts are racing, aren't they? They say, exactly. And that is a chemical issue that we can help with nutrition or natural things. Because they tell us later on, my thoughts don't race anymore. So, and that may be some of you too. So let's look at that. How do we know with positive or negative? These are guys who are Eeyore. You have any Eeyores at home? Oh, that cloud is following me again. It follows me everywhere. They're just, the other way that a child can show a mild depression is things aren't fair. No, nothing's ever fair. Not fair. Or I don't have any friends. You say, yeah, but you just played with Bobby and Michael. Yeah, but I don't have any friends. So their perception of the world is gloomy. It's no fun to be, like my granddaughter says, oh, no fun to be Debbie Downer. They would like not to be Debbie Downer. If that's their system is upset, that's what they are. So if I see a child in my consultation practice who's low serotonin, I want to know why. Why is that child low serotonin when the other kids in the family aren't? You see, same parents, same character building, same Jesus in their life, same foods. Why is this child struggling with low serotonin? And I imagine you would like to know too. So I'm just going to show you how I explored that using all the great experts in the field. I'm not one of them. I'm just a reporter. So if they have a low serotonin, I ask myself why. There are 2 questions. Number 1, do they have the food that converts to serotonin? One of the main foods that Michael Gershon talks about, Dr. Michael Norden talks about in his Beyond Prozac, and Dr. Andrew Stoll in Omega-3 Connections, they talk about the number one food for serotonin as being the essential fatty acids. And remember we talked before about the midline being made of DHA, the essential fatty acids, the retina, the eye, and the nervous system. this particular talk about the oils will be my next talk because we're going to focus on the gut for this talk. But essential fatty acids are huge. In fact, Dr. Andrew Stolen, his study he did at Harvard on women's health, found that postpartum depression is almost always because the baby took out all the DHA from the mom the last 6 weeks of pregnancy. It had to, because it needed for the corpus callosum, the retina of the eye, and the nervous system. And if mom wasn't eating either fish or something, flaxseed oil, something that converted to the oils, or she's had many babies in a row, and by that time, it's taken it all from her. Then they go into the blues and they just, you know, they hang in, but they know how they're feeling. And so, and Dr. Michael Norden in his Beyond Prozac, every patient that he had, he always was on an antidepressant because he was a psychiatrist, so he used antidepressants. He always made sure that they had plenty of the essential fatty acids, all three of them, because when he did that, he found that he didn't ever have to get the Prozac amounts up so high that they stopped taking them because of the side effects. And a certain amount of his patients could get off of them because the oils were enough to make the serotonin. So that's what we want to look at. The other thing is, I want to know the tryptophan, which converts to a product called 5-hydroxytryptophan in the brain, and that converts in 45 minutes to serotonin. And that comes from an amino acid, and that's actually a supplement we can take, and you can do that, and we talk about that in a biology behavior. But what we're going to focus on this time is I want to know then where is the manufacturing plant? This is a very important neurotransmitter. Where is this important neurotransmitter manufactured? You would think in the brain, wouldn't you? But Dr. Michael Gershon, in his study in the second brain, found out that the main manufacturing plant for serotonin is the gut. And in fact, in his book, The Second Brain, he found that more than 95% of this very important neurotransmitter that is released by the pons center of the brain is created in the gut, in the lowly bowel. He called himself the Rodney Dangerfield of the medical profession because he said everybody in the conferences would always stay for the brain surgeon's talk. And then the heart surgeon and everyone stayed for their talk. And then the bowel guy got up and said everybody had places to go. So I got no respect. Until in his lab, he found that the manufacturing place for serotonin is in the bowel. And when he found that out, he's now been on Oprah. He gets respect. He has his own laboratory team because it's a real, what we call a real deal. You see why when we say with Asperger's and autism children who just have a high anxiety state is the number one thing, anxiety rules them, they always have gut issues. You begin to see that correlation that if we don't recognize that, we're missing a very important piece. So then, if it's made in the gut, let's look at the gut. And now we're going to look at Dr. Michael Gershon's research. And Dr. Crook, this is very simplistic view, of course, of what's going on in the gut. But in the gut, we have good bacteria, and we have good yeast and fungus. If we don't do anything to upset this rainforest, it pumps out serotonin like crazy. But what are the things that we can do to upset this rainforest? Well, we can make the yeast and fungus overgrow. And what are some of the sources of yeast and fungus? We think mold. Think mold. And it's really antibiotics is a very good source, isn't it? So let's say if you have an antibiotic and it creates a mold, and it not only kills the bacteria that was causing the ear infection, it tends to also kill because it doesn't discriminate, some of the good bacteria. But if you just have antibiotics once in a while, you can right yourself. But what happens is a lot of these guys from ages 0 to 3, now I'm seeing them at 12 and 13, but ages 0 to 3, they had antibiotics maybe for back-to-back ear infections. So then this starts overgrowing even more. and killing more off. Or like sometimes I have a mom said, for kidney reflux, they had prophylactic use of antibiotics because they kept getting, you know, kidney infections. And we need to take it then, don't we? Because we don't need a kidney infection. But what do we do? Steroids will grow yeast and fungus faster than anything. In fact, if you see in the back of anything with steroids, it'll say the number one side effect is mood disorders. Well, it's from this it would be. So we know that we can get it. Also, this is what I see if moms have had, or the babies have been exposed to antibiotics in utero. So if mom had a bladder infection, then she can right herself, but the baby's immune system isn't set to do that. And they generally are born a little bit dairy allergic, which you maybe only realize later on when they're still bedwetting at 8 and 9. So the other thing is if we have a yeast infection during pregnancy, again, that affects the baby. So these are the things that we found. Sometimes I can't find the cause. Sometimes they have all the symptoms, and let's say, okay, the treatment first does no harm other than to your pocketbook. But everything affects your pocketbook. So let's just see. But what happens is this yeast, as it overgrows, it puts off a toxin called acetaldehyde. Acetaldehyde is very, very upsetting to the nervous system. It causes irritation to the nervous system. And in fact, we all know Roger Staubach, you know, famous quarterback. Well, his wife was in and out of mental hospitals for 20 years with intractable depression. And at that time, they couldn't find a medicine to help her, so they used electroconvulsive therapy. And so she'd be so depressed, she'd have electroconvulsive therapy because her brain is electrical. She'd come back home and be okay for a while. And then pretty soon she wouldn't open the curtains. Then after a while she wouldn't get out of bed until later on. And then didn't get dressed all day, and they took her back for another electroconvulsive therapy and she'd be okay for a while. This went on for 20 years. Until she saw a doctor called Orion Truss, T-R-U-S-S, M-D. He's from Alabama. And he wrote the book called The Missing Diagnosis. And he treated her for systemic yeast overgrowth. She'd never had a vaginal yeast infection, but because earlier in her life she'd had for sinus problems, she'd had a lot of antibiotics. And because of that, it just all overgrew. And so he treated her for that, and that was the end of her lifelong battle with depression. That's written in The Missing Diagnosis in Dr. Trowbridge's The Yeast Syndrome. Two places that particular story is written, because in one of them they had a very poignant remark by the son. He said, it's like we got our mom back to 20 years. So it can be, make big effects, little effects, or you can just have a whino, you know, irritated whining all the time. So in other words, it just, yeah, exactly. We have winos, you know. So they get a little bit affected, a lot affected, or more affected. But it seems to be, even though we're going to do other things, it's always a good place to start because you just see a lot of nice changes. So let's say, okay, they have 0 to 3. They have the antibiotics, but they don't have any after that. Wouldn't the body right itself? Well, except that we keep feeding the yeast overgrowth with sugars. So what happens, these guys become carnivores. They crave cup of noodles and rolls and cereal and juice and granola bars, and they just crave them. So they just keep feeding the yeast and fungus. So you don't have to have the antibiotic. You're basically inoculating yourself the whole time. So what we see is that they, you know, we wouldn't give a child birthday cake for breakfast and feel very righteous about it. But we take a pancake. So you take a cake and you put the word pan in front of it, and you feel pretty righteous about it because somehow it got to be a breakfast food then. So without knowing it, these guys, and you've noticed yourself, if you had maybe back-to-back antibiotics for some reason, have you not noticed that you crave carbs and sugar more? Or if at this time you are craving carbs and sugar and fighting that, just go ahead and rebalance your gut, and you'll notice you don't. It's so, because sometimes it can just plain be a fight. So I have had kids who've never had any antibiotic. and they get they upset their system. I had a young man named Ian. This is many years ago when I could actually tutor kids and see them regularly. Ian's dad was a pastor, and Ian was 15, and I was seeing him and working with him with various things. And Ian started being really, really silly, and you know, he was such a good kid, just laughing through everything. I was not very humorous during that tutoring time. I don't know, wasn't laughing at anything I did. He was just giggling. And so when his dad came, he said, "Are you stopping at the bar before you come here?" I mean, knowing he was a pastor, of course, they would never would. He laughed. He said, "You know, I know he's gotten so silly. He just can't attend to anything." Well, what happened is Ian was going to an alternative school where they were making a lot of money from their vending machines. So they sold everything for a quarter. So he had in the morning a ding-dong and a ho-ho and two cans of pop. Well, you just might as well dump sugar on that. So it turned to ethanol. Because what do we have? We have yeast and fungus in there. Just picture that whole chemical reaction. Yeast and fungus in there. We put in sugar, and it's warm in there. We're making beer, aren't we? Ethanol. So this is how I found it can affect kids and adults. We can get a glad drunk, a mad drunk, or a sad drunk. In other words, it can look like a depression. It can look like anger, meltdowns, rages, are just constantly upset, or occasionally it can be just plain silly. But that's also written in Dr. Trowbridge's book. So what happens is then the first food we think about these as rhizoids or roots, think mushrooms. It tends to permeate the intestinal wall. Then the first food that's not mom's pre-digested food would be dairy. And what typically, not all the time, but typically happens is some of that goes through undigested into the intestinal wall, and the mast cells in the intestine release histamine, and they start getting to be allergic. At first, you don't know they're allergic because it manifests as behavior issues. But then we can realize it. Then this is also it's like a Pac-Man. Remember that the game we used to play, Pac-Man? It eats a mineral. And the number one mineral it wants to eat is magnesium. Why are we interested in magnesium? Because magnesium is nature's tranquilizer and a natural laxative. So my kids who are SI who have that hyperacusia, hands over the ears all the time, that can be changed when we do this process. Either we put in magnesium or I just like to change the gut, and then the magnesium won't be disappearing. And so the hyperacusia, kids who grind their teeth, kids who can't wear certain socks, oh, they do so much better. If you are startled easily and things bother you a lot, noises and all of that, you may be low on magnesium. It's the number one thing that we're low in. So let's look at some of the physical symptoms of the yeast and fungus overgrowth. You'll be familiar with them. If a child has had thrush when they're a baby, that white coating in the mouth, that means that they have the spore in there. So that means that they're going to be much more sugar reactive. If you've had, these are red flags for me. Anybody who has an allergy to antibiotics, what do they say, antibiotics or mold? They're saying, we're filled with mold up to here. You put any more mold in, we're going to come out in hives. So we change antibiotic, but we don't realize that that's where that it's mold. Or athlete's foot. Now you say, oh, how can that be? But if you just get athlete's foot that you just pick up topically, you know, by going to a gym and a week of spraying with Tenactin or using something else and it goes away, that's just topical. What we're talking about are the systemic. In fact, I have a biology behavior CD set here. And the way this came about is I didn't know that I about this until I was working with an 11-year-old boy from a different part of Colorado. He was a RAD child, reactive attachment disorder. He had been being treated in treatment centers because of his terrible anger. When I saw him, the mother brought him to me, and she was, he had some, like a dysgraphia, but he'd had athlete's foot from age 2. Yeah, it, you know, went away, came back, went away, came back, went away, came back. And so, you know, I said, well, let's take care of that internally. That's going to be pretty easy. So I got a call from Nancy Thomas, who's a therapeutic parent for kids with reactive attachment disorder. And she said, tell me what, Joseph, What do you think that you did that helped him the most? And I look back in the file, well, the dysgraphia isn't going to change his life. I mean, yeah, we get rid of reversals, but that's not going to change his life. I said, well, it has to be the nutrition. And she said, well, she said, it has to, I think so too, because he stopped taking supplements for a little while and he almost ended up in jail. His old behavior came back. She said, so I'm headed out to California to a whole group of adoptive parents. Can I just take this sheet that you made for this mom in the consultation and make, duplicate it and pass that out to the parents? And I said, well, then I didn't end up in jail because it looks like I'm prescribing, doesn't it? He said, when they come to a consultation, we go through all the research and I tell them what other parents do and show them the books, so it's all, and check with their doctor and all those legal pieces. So we got together in a studio and we put this together with a little study guide. But that came because of Joseph, because his anger kept manifesting as long as that yeast and fungus was in there. So just to let you know, that's one of the signs. Sometimes rashes, eczema, cradle cap, that crusty on the scalp is often a fungus. Diaper rash, it's so interesting. We always treat the exit points, don't we? But we don't treat where it's being manufactured. We just treat it like it's a skin issue. No, yeast and fungus will try to get out of the body in every orifice it can. Our job is to recognize where it's coming from because it affects behavior and focusing. So I didn't get into this to change a child's cradle cap or their scalp itch or anything like that. It was because it was the behavior. I just noticed physical symptoms that went with it. Anyone who's lactose intolerant. Behavior, we see mood swings, because how do we know? It gets so much better. Spaciness, huh? What'd you say? What? I mean, just like in their another zone, and they are. Anger, irritability, aggression. From just a little bit, easily upset, you're walking on eggshells, or full-blown rages. Inconsistent performance, because you see, they're in a fog. In fact, they call it brain fog. Just in a fog. Some days the fog lifts a little more. Depends on if they had eggs for breakfast or cereal. You know, what's feeding it. And then they can engage. Next day they can't. Inattention. These are behavioral symptoms. Memory problems. You see, it looks like a memory problem. But really, they're in a fog. Some of you have experienced this yourself. Inappropriate behavior. They talk very loudly all the time. They don't have an indoor voice. And that's one of the things that we see gets better right away. Our depression. Many more negatives than positives. One time I was teaching this at a college, and one of the men who had taken a previous class of mine, a male teacher, he hadn't interacted with me at all with the first class, so I didn't even know if he was engaged or he was just plain taking the class for credit, which, you know, we have to do too. But he came up to me the first and second class, and he said, I have to tell you, last time you talked about this yeast and fungus overgrowth. Now, I've been treated for sinusitis, many different antibiotics for sinus infections, and then somebody did a surgery, and it got better. And I didn't realize it, but I used to enjoy going fishing and bowling and all of that with my buddies. And I just started hanging around only the apartment. And all my buddies said, why don't you come out? I just never felt like doing anything. He said, you know, just nothing was fun anymore. He said, I thought, maybe that's a mild depression. And so he said, I just started treating it with natural stuff. And he said, I can't believe it. I'm back to bowling and fishing and going out. I feel like my old self. Sometimes we just settle. Don't we? We don't know. We just settle for the blah feeling, thinking that maybe that's just part of life, or our age, or our children, or our husband. No, I didn't say that. So why are some teenagers susceptible to depression? And haven't you wondered? I mean, it's just really an interesting thing to think about. What are the symptoms first? If a child is going into depression, you know them all. They start getting isolated. They start hanging around their room only. They get surly, moody, and we say, oh, they're just 14. I think it's puberty. I always say, I think not. Why? Because we can change it when we treat it for what it is, which is a chemical upset. So what because I know so many times when my daughter, I've had quite a few grandchildren, and so they're my laboratory, kids that I can work with. And so we had my first grandchild was 14, and my daughter said, you know what, he's just getting so upset, I know it. You know, it's just got to be the age, this is such a hard age. And I said, Oh, I wonder. You know, we could always do counseling, go to a Christian counselor, but I wonder. And so we found out she was sending him to the corner store all the time for diapers and things because she had twins, twin babies. And you always need another arm. And she found out, he said, oh, when he comes here, you know what he gets? So many candy bars. Oh. So we treated him with this antifungal. It was natural stuff. And we got our happy Josh back again. He said, oh, so maybe it isn't always just teenage behavior. Listening to rock music, dark music that they weren't interested in before, but they're just sneaking it because it's a physical thing. Start wearing black clothes, not sleeping late, not falling asleep. Why do they sleep late in the morning? They are not falling asleep at night. And they seem to have lost motivation. One of the reasons is their diet. They eat carbs all the time or they drink pop. So they don't need antibiotics. They're just feeding that yeast all by themselves. Sometimes they've had antibiotics for zinc, for a acne condition. And that, of course, that's a very strong antibiotic that really will change your behavior. They're not getting enough sleep, zinc, iron deficiency. Those are the things that could affect it. But what else does yeast fungus overgrowth affect? SI are sensory processing problems. And this is where many of you are. You know where your children are with this. So sometimes clothing tags bother them. Or socks have to have the right seams. If you have an SI child, you know that because you only buy your socks in one place, don't you? Because you're not going to fight that battle anymore, because should you get the sock seam wrong, that's the whole day, isn't it? That's it. They're just upset the whole day. You can't get them out of that hole. They often, I always liked it when they come to consultations and they're wearing, in the middle of winter, shorts. And I said, are jeans a problem? Oh, yeah, they don't like anything tight or anything stiff or bothersome. Grinding teeth, that will go away right away. That's interesting. Now, boys don't like to have their hair combed or washed, but this is screaming, so the social worker comes in. Or the doctor, one girl said, we had our son went to the doctor and sat there with the nurse and talked about the fish in the tank. Versus, don't touch me with that cough, and that type of thing. Let's just see some other things. Often food textures bother them. Their nightmare would be tapioca pudding, because they have to put the pearls over here and the smooth part over there. You're like a quizzing art, in their mouth. They hate yogurt with cherries in it. Oh, no, has to be, in other words, everything is bothering them. Their nervous system is hyper alert, red alert, red alert, red alert. Any change? Oh, no. And so they keep their world very narrow and very structured, and they structure your life too, because if it gets out of the parameters, they know it's going to invade their nervous system. So they're protecting themselves. Sometimes they won't eat meat. So they don't become vegetarians, because vegetarians would eat vegetables. Become carbivarians, don't they? They become meat avoiders, and sometimes because it feels like fur in their mouth. They often will chew on clothing. Their top of their shirt's always wet. Very selective eater, and it's not vegetables they're selecting. Pasta, cup of noodles. Food sometimes can't touch on a plate. Sometimes that's an issue. For these guys, transitions are very hard. You have to make an appointment with them to, let them know when you're changing the math test. Auditory, hands over the ears. Now, sensitive to loud noises, a lot of people don't like loud noises. That's just a quirk. Hands over the ears is what we're talking about with SI. Or dislike being in a group because they get overstimulated or they only stay in the periphery. Language sometimes is delayed. So these are the symptoms. 7 ways for you to confirm you're a parent of a child with sensory issues is a barber tools required for your child's haircut include sedatives and a scissors silencer. You break out in hysterical fits of laughter when the doctor sends in only one nurse to give your child an immunization, says, oh, it'll just take a second. 7 different family meals need to be prepared for your family of 4. The thought of your child's upcoming dental visits gives you anxiety attacks that require medication and therapy. You go new clothes shopping at secondhand shops because it's all soft. No breaking in necessary for them. You're shocked when you can make a last-minute change of plans and your child doesn't have a meltdown. And last one, you also start wearing your socks and underwear inside out because it really does feel more comfortable. So you know who you are, right? Let's look at some of these. This is a guy, Kent. I'm going to just read you about Kent's here. She says, this mom said, we struggled with trying to help Kent, I think he's 11 or 12. For years, he is very bright and with anxiety. That's what SI is. Attention, anger, allergy issues, along with a lot of stomach aches. Then she talks about her husband a little bit here. I won't read that. The supplement program has done wonders for Kent. We started back in February. Every day he walks around talking about how much better he feels in his mood and in his tummy. It seems to even have helped his hypoglycemic issues. What a joy it is to hear him laughing with his brothers so much more. I'm loving all the warm hugs he's now giving me, and his cooperation is so much better. Anger and anxiety are gone. Oh, is that ever nice to hear? Here's another one from, so I'll click through here. So tummy aches gone. By the way, just as I was this morning answering questions, a gal here that she said I could read hers, who's from this area, said that her child had been everywhere for stomach aches, upper GI, lower GI. And once she took care of the fungus, his stomach aches were gone. Remember, where's serotonin? It's made in the gut. How can you be low anxiety if your gut is all upset? So for Kent, cooperation, all of those kinds of things got so much better. Laughing more. Isn't it? We say thank you, Jesus, because he is so good. So how are we going to restore this gut ecology? What are we going to do? It's easy, and you know a lot of this already. And so this is what we're going to do. And this is all from Dr. Crook's book, Dr. Leo Gallen's book. People much smarter than I am came up with this. I just took it and implemented it in a way 1 week at a time so we could see what was going on. But this is none of it's new in my area. So what we're going to do is we're going to plant this good bacteria in here. And we're going to plant it 3 times a day. You can just go to the health food store. We'll give you some names of brands. Plant that good bacteria in there. If you've had any antibiotics or if you just feel upset, tired, doesn't hurt. What? We can all use good bacteria in our gut. Certainly check with your doctor and ask him. But he's going to say yes. I get a lot of pharmacist kids and pilot's kids just because they have different schedules. And so I see the dads a lot. And I say, for the pharmacist, I said, every time that you're filling an antibiotic prescription, could you give them some Lactinex? He said, you would really reduce the amount of families I need to see. Could you plan? And it's like, we don't give unopposed estrogen, do we? We always give progesterone with it, but we give unopposed antibiotics. So we kill the good bacteria, we never put it back in. So the antibiotics are good, steroids are good, they save lives, we're thankful for them. But we had a little cleanup to do because we didn't know it could affect that. So we're going to plant in 3 times a day and then we're going to kill. Oh, the boys love this part. We're going to kill some of those, some of that yeast overgrowth that's causing that upset. And when we do, we're going to see the changes. So how are we going to restore gut ecology? One of the ways is with what we call acidophilus supplements. You can get them at your health food store. We also have them on our website, but that's mainly for people who, if you're not by a health food store. You know, if you're by a health food store, easiest place to get it is there. If you can't get it, then we have it. But it's mainly for people from North Dakota and Wyoming. You know, they're way out. Or like people from New Mexico said, we're not even close. Well, then we will help you with that. What we'd like to do is get the ones in the refrigerator. This is what we found. The chewable, we will see no behavior changes with. No matter how many times they tell you the chewable work, my experience, which is 14 years of feedback from hundreds of parents, it just doesn't work. So why take the time? Do it. They say, but my child won't swallow. Well, most of our kids won't swallow pills and those kinds of things because they all have SI, and swallowing would be, oh man, I can feel it going down my throat. No, no. And then you can't put it in any food because they sniff it all out. I mean, you know. So when they come and tell me, my child won't swallow anything, like, that's unique. I just want you to know that is where this crowd tends to come from. If you can have one and swallow pills, that's great. Otherwise, we don't do chewable or liquid, no results. So what can you do? Take that good bacteria, then open the capsules up and put it in something like a little bit of yogurt, just a teaspoon. If you put it in the whole thing, you don't know if they'll eat it. If I have kids that are real recalcitrant and only down to 5 foods, all carbs, and I've had people who are even in feeding programs, but they can't get them to get even more than 5 foods, I take this and put it in the few pitiful 5 foods they'll eat. If one of them, it's not like, you know, if I can't get in a pizza, which I'll eat, and french fries, which I'll eat, and chicken nuggets, and macaroni and cheese, and french fries, right? Those are usually the 5 foods. If I can get something like applesauce in there, but if I can't, then I do what the gals from enzymestuff.com do. They put it in chocolate frosting. Because, that'll feed the yeast. No, we're going to plant in there. Because you know what? They widen their own diet after that. We change the chemistry, they widen their own diet. One mom said, did you hear the angels sing Wednesday night? The girl asked for meat. The first time in 5 years. We didn't do a feeding program. We changed the chemistry, and the body became more normalized. So I like Primadolphus by Nature's Way, but I'm going to write down here, I'm going to give you 3 brands that I can count on that you're going to see good results. Don't get all the other brands, because I can just tell you some of them aren't treated right along the way. All we know is we don't get good results. Another one would be Healthy Trinity. Healthy Trinity, the reason I didn't always put that down before is because it's a little pricier. But if your child has had a lot of antibiotics and has a lot of these issues, Healthy Trinity is definitely worth getting. It costs a lot less than counseling. But we like counseling too. It's never either or, you know, because many, many good ways to handle and cope with. We're just talking about this. The other one, maybe you've heard of, it's called Culturelle. Should I use the yellows? You want to see it? You just, really, you're so fussy. You guys are a lot of fun. Culturelle. But the problem is, on every one of them, they're going to say one time a day. Because we have billions and zillions, it makes no difference. The body will kill it in 4 hours because it's hot in there. So it has to be 3 times a day, either breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The kids are in school, breakfast, after school, and dinner. Let me tell you, that once a day, we just get no good reports. And we have people lining up all the time, like we're in Indiana and all those. I did it, but it didn't work. Oh, did you do it 3 times a day? Well, no, the bottle just said once a day. Or, did you do the capsule? Yeah, 3 times. We did 3 times a day. What kind? Chewable. So you see, it's just those kinds of reports that I say, just don't, you know, you don't need to make it harder for yourself. Breakfast, dinner, lunch, dinner, 3 times a day for 3 months. I'm very aggressive with yeast and fungus, because yeast and fungus is very aggressive in what it wants to look like behaviorally. So I give it very short shrift. We want to get rid of it. So, yeah, we're going to do a natural antifungal. If they're over age 6, then just get grapefruit seed extract tablets. If you've ever bitten into a grapefruit seed, you know how bitter it is. So it's not grape seed, it's grapefruit seed. But you don't want to get the liquid because it's too caustic. You have to get either tablets. If you can't buy Nutribiotics, every health food store has this, like $7. Then you're going to do half a tablet. If they cannot swallow tablets, then you're probably going to have to get on our website and get the product we get from Dr. Leo Gallen called Paramicrocidin. You can open it up and it's tasteless. But if they can swallow the tablets, just you can easily do that. The other thing is, we have to stop feeding that guy. Now, we don't mean no sugar. Don't interpret this as no sugar, because that won't work. I would sabotage your program, wouldn't I? No, reduce sugar and carbs. How do we do that? Juice is just the sugar of a fruit. We need to, juice wouldn't be a really good player for us. Cereal is just carbs, even if it's a healthy cereal. So, and then what snacks do they have? Popcorn, nuts, beef jerky, fruit, cut up vegetables. Take out of your pantry graham crackers, granola bars, which are all just forms of Snickers candy bars. They are, aren't they? You just didn't know they were there. Don't just yank them all out when you get home and everybody's going to cry. Use them up till they're gone and then you get forgetful. Got to get that. And don't take them shopping with you. So Dad watches them during shopping and you're forgetful for a while. Only 3 months. Nolan's anger, I want to tell you, this is a mom, and she said that the terms these moms use is what's so helpful. Nolan's 10 years old. This is our first year homeschooling. For as long as I can remember, Nolan had an anger problem. He really just couldn't understand where his anger came from. So he wasn't like the other kids, so it couldn't be a character issue. From what I heard in your CD, Biology Behavior, he had many courses of antibiotics because of ear infections when he was young. You just fit what you spoke about. We started this planting and killing. She calls it the supplement program in the fall winter. It has made a tremendous difference in his life. He's no longer characterized by anger, but by peace and more joy. He feels better about himself, and life is so much better for the rest of us. We would imagine that's probably so. So when this is what I often hear. Oh, they were so good during the 3 months, and then it was good for a while, and now it's coming back. When do you want to redo this? Redo a few weeks of the planting and killing after you've done the 3 month time at Christmas, because you know it's going to happen. You're going to get sick. I hear from a lot of people after Christmas, too many sweets. Whether we call it Halloween or Harvest Festival, it's all about sugar. And Easter. Redo it. You don't have to do the 3 months again, but do a couple of weeks. Anytime that behavior resurfaces, because it's going to want to come back, but we don't have to do the full 3 month time. And so the diets we're going to do, we're not going to have pancakes except maybe once a week for 3 months. So sometimes when people put their child on a gluten-free diet, which is good, but their behavior gets worse because they do gluten-free pancakes and gluten-free granola bars and gluten-free bread and gluten-free cookies. And oh, the yeast says, I don't care, I love gluten-free too. It will grow. So sometimes parents want to say, what about this sugar or that sugar? Well, all sugar will grow yeast. But that doesn't mean we're not going to use any sugar. That just means we're going to know that and measure it. And so it'll say, okay, Splenda, oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. Oh, agave, oh, I love it, I love it. You know, in other words, it doesn't care. Organic, oh, yeah, I really love organic. You know, the yeast doesn't care. It's carbs and sugar. So these are the things that we want to do. Just have what you can have for breakfast. You can have eggs or burritos or peanut butter toast. You guys have lots of good ideas. Popcorn, salted nuts. Salt is very good for these guys. While you're looking at that, this is the gal from here, and she said I could use her name. It's a long story, so she said about 3 years ago, our son, then seven, began complaining about belly ache. She said we took him to the doctor, many tests, couldn't find answers. Her friend came to the convention 3 years ago, came home excited, she said, and we began Nathan on the regimen of the planting and killing. Although I don't remember all of it, I know it involved grapefruit seed extract and probiotics. She said within 2 weeks, Nathan stopped complaining and began to play again. Then the real evidence that Nathan was better came about a month later. She said, you see, since Nathan was very little, he had started every morning by laying in his crib and humming to himself. The morning we knew Nathan was better was a morning we woke up to hear Nathan lying in his bed humming again. We cried. We like to make parents cry every time. Because we knew we had our Nathan back. And that's from Becky Keith. She said that we could use that. So just to encourage you, it's worth trying. What can you lose other than, you know, some money? That they're going to get healthier, bottom line. What if it doesn't take care of all the behavior issues? They're going to get healthier. If you need more behavior interventions, then be sure to get our Biology Behavior CD set, because we have 5-HTP and all sorts of things in there that'll take care of that anxiety right away. But if these two things do it for you, then that's great. We don't need to do any more than what works, right? We're not looking just to take stuff because by theory it's good. So Hagar says, I'm going to give you a one-word answer to all your health food problems. What is it, doctor? Diet. Do you have an easier one-word answer? Our dentist in minutes, uh-oh, mom's reading labels. That means we're going to have a health food dinner. Or did you hear the angels sing Wednesday night? The girl asked for meat. A child can take many bundles, just like a camel can carry many bottles. We are going to remove the yeast and mold. We're going to try, we all try, but we're going to work a little harder on the sugar and junk food and nutritional deficiencies. We're going to talk about the food allergies and other things, oils, in the next one. Here she says, before, with the introduction of leaky gut and treating it, revealed the children I knew were inside. I never saw the Kathy. We have this in our biology behavior that is a week-by-week program. It's like having a nutritionist in your home if you want to, and that has helped a lot of people. I want to read something here for you. She used this. This is, I just have to read our little Gail. Let me see if we have our sullen moody. I do. She used the best adjectives I've ever heard. My sullen, moody, unfocused, emotional, contrary, willful daughter was transformed into an affectionate, pleasant, peaceful, joyful little butterfly. Her learning ability skyrocketed. Our home life has become so much more pleasant. And she, in fact, she goes on to say that she said, next to salvation, this is the best gift I've ever gotten. She said, since 18 months old, they've been struggling with that. I have a whole family here who did it. One gal decided, usually we just do it with the struggling one. Her whole family, and this is her report, her 9-year-old, the eczema is gone, bedwetting, gone. It's either going to be fungus or dairy. Food aversion's gone. Focus greatly improved. 14-year-old attitude improved. Acne cleared up. 11-year-old attitude, and the mother got rid of all her yeast infections. She also says something about her husband here, but I don't usually read that because you guys, you get picked on, don't you? Asperger's syndrome, I'm not going to read it to you, but Peggy Ployer, who said I could read hers, she was a special needs director at Miche. She said dramatic differences. 3 years later than I heard from her, her son who used to show Asperger's symptoms doesn't, and she's now doing a lot of things with the foods. In fact, she's going to speak there. So we're going to have, not between these sessions, I'm just going to have a next session in a few minutes. But we have many free handouts at our booth, the questions answered by Pam and myself, and we'll be glad to do that when this next one's over. Anytime you get any of the products, feel free to email me. I do follow up. Our next workshop, if you enjoyed this one, this is going to be a continuation, but with a different focus. For kids who have behavior and biology of auditory and short-term memory, we know that we can get at it with teaching, but there is a chemistry to dyslexia. There's a chemistry to auditory processing problems, and this can help us as adults. Remember, we talked about the lecithin that converts to acetylcholine, the memory neurotransmitter that Alzheimer's have none of. So we're going to show you how you can actually see a difference in your memory. Usually it's within 5 days. So that will be in the next Biology of Auditory Processing and Memory Problems, probably in 10 minutes? Okay, so hope to see you then. Thank you.